It is good to be here. We're so thankful for Almighty God for blessing us with traveling grace to come to this place to be able to partake of this wonderful summer series that is being conducted here. We're indebted to the eldership here, for you have blessed us in so many ways, both physically and spiritually, and we continue to do the work that God has given us to do. Because of your prayers and your support, it is able to go forth and to bear fruits thus far. We're so thankful for each member here, for your commitment to the Lord. You demonstrate your love for the Lord, his work, and you continue to fight that good fight of faith, and we're so thankful for each of you. We're so thankful for Brother Nathan and his family. We appreciate that introduction. We're so thankful that you are working with the brethren here to continue to take forth the gospel to not only carry, but throughout this world. Indeed, your work will be beneficial to many as it is beneficial to us in Carthage, and we're so grateful for the invitation. Invitations mean a great deal to our society, whether you are young or old. In fact, there are some that can remember invitation when they were young, invitation to perhaps ball games or to house gatherings, even to barbecues. We often appreciate invitations. There are many memories and examples that could be given to show how extending and receiving invitation has a great impact on our society. But also, it is true that the Bible speaks of invitations, and we can read how God has invited those to come and to know him and to eat with him and to get to know him. There are several examples of how some have responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ because someone thought enough of them to invite them to a Bible class or to a gospel meeting or even to a VBS, and they obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. So invitations are very important. Sometimes we tend to have excuses for not accepting invitations. And sometimes when we read in God's word how God have invited those to come to him, and many have had many excuses for not accepting God's invitation. We want to take just a few moments to study God's word, to examine this parable from Luke 14, 16 and following. And we will find that we have no excuses for disobeying God. And we want to study how God answers excuses. For many times when studying God's word, we will come to the realization that there is no excuse for not serving the Lord. Preoccupation is no excuse. When we look at this parable, beginning with verse number 16, then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. Preoccupation is no excuse. When we study this parable, we'll find that it's pretty simple to follow and to understand. The supper was made and people were invited to come. But the first people that were invited, they refused to come. They had excuses, just like this parable. Many in today's society have been given opportunities after opportunities to come and partake of the Lord's Supper and to learn more of Him, but they too have rejected. It is important for us to realize that not everyone that is called will come. Many people who believe in God are so preoccupied with their worldly affairs that they have no time to come and to be with the Lord. The man who gave this great supper represents God. And the supper represents the spiritual blessings that God has for all of His creation. And many times we fail to realize that it is great for us to have this invitation and to have the opportunity to come and to feast with the Lord. What a great honor to be invited to the supper of the Lord. See, God gave advance invitation to the children of Israel. This supper had been in the making even before man sinned. And God had been preparing the way through the prophets and through His disciples. We find through the scriptures that God was preparing this for all mankind. And then finally He sent His only begotten Son to call His people to feast. But the religious leaders of this time, the scholars, they were so preoccupied with worldly and their lives were so filled with all types of secular things that they had no time to come to this feast. Although the guests had been beforehand invited. See, this is not something that just happened. He did not one day decide that he wanted to have a feast, but this has been planned for some time. And now he decides that it's time for the great supper. It's time for this feast. Go tell them everything is ready. And because they had already known about this feast, there was no excuses. Sometimes we know in advance that there's going to be a gospel meeting. We know that there's going to be a VBS. We know that there's going to be something that the church is going to be doing, but yet we will put other things on our schedules. But the religious leaders, they knew. What an insult to God who had created them, who had prepared this. And those that have prepared banquets or even had cookouts or any other type of events, you know about the work that is involved with these type of occasions. So you can imagine how much work, how much preparation, how much plan had gone into this. And when you look at your Bible, it says that it was a great, it was nothing small, but it was a great event. The Bible talks about three examples that are given of excuses that were offered. These excuses were made because of business or pleasure. They are indication that they were too preoccupied for the Lord's work. They were too preoccupied to spend time with the Lord. These excuses made, it help us to understand that many times we get caught up into worldly affairs and we have very little time for the service of God. One said, I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you, have me excused. When someone makes a purchase of property, that is an exciting moment. Perhaps we can remember when we bought our home. Perhaps our first home, how exciting it was to buy your first home, the joy that you endured. Perhaps calling friends and family, inviting them over, making a great deal out of it because it is a great deal. So he's not condemning them for buying property. There's nothing wrong with buying property. But here we find that they was too busy to attend this invitation. It is interesting that different verbs are used in these three examples. In this first case, if you look at your Bible, it says, I must go and see it. Is that in your Bible? In his mind, this was absolutely essential, even though it prevented him from attending this invitation. He felt that there was no way that he could make this occasion because he had purchased a piece of land. To him, that sounded like a pretty good excuse. But to God, it was not. This represents people who give priority to their possessions, and they are too occupied with their possession that they neglect to serve Almighty God. We must wonder why someone would purchase land without first going to look at it. Did that come to your mind? And when I read scriptures like Proverbs 31 and 16, it helped me to understand that these men, they did not think like this virtuous woman, because the Bible said she considered a field and bought it. Isn't that wonderful? That a virtuous woman would go and look before she buys. But here we find those that perhaps are the elite religious people of this time that would purchase property before looking at it and use it as an excuse for not serving the Lord. But then another one said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to prove them. I asked to have me excused. See, the first man was a proud property owner, but this man is a busy businessman. He does not say, I must go, as the first man said, but he says, I am going. He do not ask to be excused. He said, I am going. He was already on his way. Although he knew about this invitation beforehand, he made a decision that his business was more important than this God. Both, they viewing the property was important to them. One wanted to make sure he looked at the property even after he had bought it. The other wanted to test or to prove the oxen. Could not they do this on the next day? What was wrong with them going the following day to do these things? The great feast, it simply was not important to them. It did not mean anything to them. We find time for those things that are important to us, do we not? And this is an example of the cares of the Lord was not priority in their lives. Sometimes people will plead that they are under necessity to do those things that are involved with their businesses, or those things that are involved with their property. They plead that this is something that I cannot put off. This is something that I must do, that I must do it right now. Not thinking about the God that gives us the means and the opportunity to have those things in which we do have. Then Another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. The first man said, I must go. I must go do something. The second man said, I am going to do something. But the third man said, I cannot come. I am not coming. Many times we fail to realize that God give us these time to take care of these type of things, do we not? Is not there 168 hours in a week? So why could these things not been taken care of before now? And under the law, Deuteronomy 20:7, 24:5, it gives a bridegroom a year without military service to spend time with his bride. But that did not excuse him from his duties to his God. So again, there was no excuse. And how many brides in here would not love to go and spend an evening at a feast at a rich man's house? You see, he could have taken his bride with him if he had chose to do so. So once again, it was just an excuse given because he did not value the invitation. This represents people who let preoccupation with families and possessions and material things get in the way of them serving the Lord. Jesus has warned us that he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me, Jesus says, they are not worthy of me. Matthew 10:37. So God have not, cannot, and will not accept excuses for not putting him first. The Bible still says we are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Matthew 6:33. Not only do we find that there were those that were preoccupied, but there are also biblical examples of those that procrastinated. Procrastination is not an excuse for not serving the Lord. If you open your Bible to Matthew 8:18 and following, and Luke 9:57-62, there we will find the Bible describes perhaps three men that had the chance to become disciples of Christ. And they all called him either master or Lord. And the Bible is clear that don't call him Lord or master if you're not willing to do the things that he tell you to do. Luke 6:46. And also Matthew 7:21-27. So here are three that they called him Lord, and one of them said, Lord, Master, I will follow you whithersoever you go. And the Lord told him, I don't have any place to live. The foxes have holes, but the Son of Man, I have no place to live. And then this man, he changes his attitude. You see, he finds that this is not the luxury lifestyle that perhaps the children of Israel were looking for or expecting or even anticipating. He helped them understand that in order to follow me, you're going to have to deny self. But the second man, he wanted to go and bury his father. But Jesus said to him, follow me and allow the dead to bury their own dead. See, there are some who think Jesus is perhaps too insensitive, but Don't you remember that when the dead, when someone died, they were buried in the same day? So if his father was dead, why was he following Jesus in the first place? So perhaps he was saying to the Lord, Lord, my father is ill. Let me go back home. And after my father dies, then I will come and follow you. See, sometimes we want to follow Jesus, but we don't want to follow Jesus right now. You know, I follow you when I am of old age. Then I'll follow you. Then I'll totally commit myself to you. Perhaps they will say, well, when I make all the money that I can make, you know, when I feel that my family is set, then I will follow you. Then I will totally commit to you. But Jesus says, I want you to follow me now. Don't procrastinate. Don't put it off. Let the dead bury their own. And we know the Lord is not insensitive. Perhaps you remember when Lazarus died, how the Lord felt about that situation. Huh? So he's not insensitive to someone dying. He's not insensitive to our loved one. God, he loves us, and he wants that which is best for us. But he do not want us to put anything before him. Our love for our family, our jobs, our material gain should seem like hate in comparison to our love for God. That's what this Bible teaches us. Don't put anything before God. So if you're putting anything before God, then we have our priorities wrong. So the Lord wants us to follow him. He don't want us to be waiting until this happened, or wait until that happened. He wants us to follow him now. When we know better, we should do better. And we should not put it off. What if this man had gone back and spent time with his father? And perhaps his father did not die right away. Perhaps it had been some 3.5 years later he died. Then this man would have missed the opportunity to be a part of our Lord ministry. The Lord was only here 3.5 years. What if something happened to him on his way back to his father? So we do not know when our time will be up. We must serve the Lord now and not have excuses. Total commitment to Christ is commanded. We should love Christ so much that we are willing to follow him no matter what. Notice the application of this for us today. Everyone who wishes to follow Jesus, we're going to have to count the cost. We're going to have to make sure that we give God the first, give God the best, and give God our all. And when we do that, we can have the assurance that God will take care of us. Not only is preoccupation no excuse, but procrastination is no excuse. But sometimes we think predicaments are excuses, but predicaments are no excuse either for not serving the Lord. Imagine our God, the great creator, the one who have all power, decides the time has come to deliver his people out of Egypt. And he calls on you, or he calls on me, to go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Will you be willing to stop doing what you are doing and go? You see, sometimes we think we have certain predicaments that will prevent us from serving the Lord. Moses felt that way. If anyone had a predicament that may be one that would be excusable to God, it should have been Moses. Moses was some 80 years old, huh? And Moses was a fugitive from the very place that God wanted him to go. Moses said, I can't go back over there. Can you imagine Moses going back into Egypt? And I know they may not have this there, but let your mind do some wondering. What if they got his picture all over the trees as a wanted man? Huh? He felt that he had a legitimate excuse. He had a pretty good predicament that would prevent God from sending him over to Egypt. If Moses' excuse wasn't good enough, don't you know that you and I have no excuse for serving the Lord? Moses used the predicament of, I have this problem. You know, I have this a problem. He said, I have the predicament of my ability. You know, I'm just a nobody. You know, I can't go back to Egypt. I'm just out here working in the field. I'm a nobody. Why would you want me to go and do something such of such importance as this? Sometimes Christians feel that way. I can't do this or I can't do that because I don't have the skills or the abilities that they have over here. Sometimes we want to use excuses, but God knows our limitations. God knows our abilities. God knows what you and I are capable of doing. Moses says, I can't go. He tried to disqualify himself. But God told him, I want you to go anyway. He tells him that I'm going to be with you. And not only did he tell him that he promised him he was going to be with him in Exodus 3, 11 and 12, but he also tells him that after you accomplish that which I send you to do, I'm going to meet you in the mountains. Is that enough assurance for you? Not only did God promise that he was going to be with him, but God said, after you are finished, I'll see you in the mountains. So there is no excuse. Don't worry about your abilities or lack of, but be obedient to God. Then he has the excuse of perhaps his inadequacy. Exodus 3:13-22. See, the Lord deals with that first excuse. But Moses, he decides that if he tells people that God has sent him to do this, they're not going to believe me. He said, you go. And the things that I'm going to do are through you and with you, by the time I'm done, they will believe. Sometimes we're afraid to tell people or live before people the Christian lives because people are not going to believe us or people are going to think there's something wrong with us because we're different than they are. But you go because God will work with you or through you, and after he's done with you, they will believe. And then the excuse of his infirmities. He thinks he's got a predicament here. You know, he started to say that, you know, I have a speech impediment. You know, I'm slow to think, or maybe I'm slow to talk, or I stutter when I speak. He felt that, you know, he was inadequate. This is a predicament, Lord. Maybe you should find somebody else. He said, no, I will use your mouth. I will use your mind. Exodus 4:10-17. Sometimes we as Christians, we try to use excuses saying that we are not adequate enough, or we have certain infirmities. You know, I'm not as educated as this person or that person, or I am not educated or wealthy, or I don't have this ability, I don't have that ability, or I'm older or I'm younger. It doesn't matter. You see, don't you know that when God chooses you, God already knows the outcome. The only way it will not work is if you try to run from God. And then you have the situation that God will still get glory, although you choose for God not to get glory with you, God then will get glory off of you. And you don't want God to get glory off of you because you choose not to obey him. So, no, these are not legitimate excuses for not serving the Lord. These are excuses that God will not accept. He did not accept them from Moses. He will not accept them from you nor me. Whatever your excuse may be, God is already well informed of whatever infirmities that you may have. So there's no excuse. No excuse for not serving the Lord. God responds to Moses that he made man's mouth and he made man's mind, and he is able to give man everything that he needs to accomplish that which God have for him to do. So God gave him Aaron. And sometimes we have to be careful. See, God gave him Aaron because Moses didn't have confidence in himself. God had confidence in Moses. That's why he chose Moses. So he gave him Aaron, and Aaron ended up getting the people in trouble. So you have to be careful when you complain about, you know, I'm not enough, I'm inadequate, my infirmities. God will give you someone that you think you need, and that someone may get in your way or cause you to trip and fall. So we see that God wanted the children of Israel free. And today, church, God wants the gospel to go into the whole world. And wherever your world is, right here in Cary, or Apex, or wherever you live, that's your world. And God wants the gospel to go throughout the world. And he wants you to live before others that they may see God in you. He wants you to tell them about the God who loves them, who have given his best for them. God hasn't changed his mind. He has saved those in the past, and God wants to save those even today. But he's not going to send the Lord back. Christ is not going to come back, church. He's not going to send a band of angels. But God has given you and me the commission to take the gospel into all the world. And God knows that you and I are more than capable of doing that. So there will be no excuses for you and I not doing our part and taking the gospel to the whole world. We read in God's word that whatever we have to give up, whatever we have to endure for the sake of the gospel, then God will give it back to us. Perhaps you remember in Mark chapter 10, 28 through 30, when Peter began to say unto him, Lord, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left houses or brethren or sister or father or mother or wife or children or land for my name's sake and the gospel but he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. So whatever you and I have to endure, whatever you and I have to give up for the sake of faithfully serving our God, God's going to give it back to you 100-fold. See, man may say, you invest with me and I give you 100% back. Even when man is honest and he tries his very best to do what he said he's going to do, many times he still falls short. But if God says he guaranteed 100% back in this time and in the time to come, God means what he says. You can take that to the heavenly bank. So we find here that God promised whatever we have to give up to be faithful in our service to him, he's going to give it back to us 100-fold. Sometimes we think that, you know, Peter, when he began to follow the Lord, he had to give up his fishing business. No, he did not. See, Peter had a mortgage. Peter had a wife. So God did not expect him to give up his business and let his family be without. God tells us that a husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he gave his life for it. Man is to love his wife. And we are to rear our children, or bring our children up in the admonition of the Lord. God expects that of us. There's no excuse for not doing that. So we find that Peter had a mother-in-law, and we find that the Lord cured Peter's mother-in-law. You remember that? In Matthew 8, beginning with verse number 14. And then after the Lord was resurrected, in John 21, beginning with verse number 4, we find the Lord coming to the shore, and he finds Peter and the rest of the men out there fishing. And the Lord said, toss your net to the other side. And they caught more fish than they ever caught before. Every time Peter was successful, he was successful because the Lord was with him. Even after he tried to leave the Lord made him more successful in his business when the Lord was with him and he was with the Lord. So regardless of what you give up, regardless of what you may go through, God will be with you, and you can be more successful with God than you can be without him. So if the Lord cares about us that way, and he's going to give us 100-fold back of anything that we give up for serving him, then what excuse we have for not serving the Lord? There is no excuse. It appears to me that regardless of the excuses that man give for not doing the will of God, God always have an answer. Does he not? He always have an answer. Whether it's infirmities, whether it's inadequacy, whether it's, my ability, whatever your excuses are, God has an answer. So there are no excuses for not serving our God. God has saved each of us by his grace and mercy. But we are saved so we can be able to save others. God has given us everything that we need. Whenever there is a God-given task or a God-given purpose, God provides the resources. He has always done that. So there's no reason for none of us to put anything before the Lord. All I'm saying is, if Moses was here today, Moses would say, you're not going to get out of it. So you might as well go ahead and serve the Lord. He's not going to accept your excuses. So go ahead and serve the Lord. So if you don't get anything out of this lesson, I want us all to remember, all of us to take with us the fact that we need to give God our all, no matter what. You may be here, and you're not a member of the Lord's church. And you may feel that you have a pretty good excuse for not being a member of the Lord's church. Sometimes people think that, you know what, I have time. You know, I have plenty of time left. But read Proverbs 27 and 1 sometime, you'll realize that you don't have as much time you may think you have. Sometimes folks may say, you know, I can't obey the gospel because I can't stay faithful. Well, the Bible helps us to understand we have to do the best that we can. In Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse number 13, you remember that Simon the sorcerer, he obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. But when he seen the apostles using the ability, the talent that God gave them, he wanted to buy that. He had been a sorcerer perhaps most of his life. And now he had obeyed the gospel and he find himself wanting to go back to that. Huh? So don't think that you're the only one that feel that way. You know, if I obey the gospel, I can't remain faithful. Do the best you can. And you have a family of God that's willing to help you. Sometimes folks might say, well, I'm not just good enough. Matthew 9, 12 through 13, it tells us that the Lord, he didn't come to save the righteous, but he came to save folks like you and me who are not good enough. But thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. But then someone may say, well, I can't come to the Lord. I don't want to become a member of the Lord's church. Y'all have some hypocrites in there. That may be true. You know, they had some hypocrites in the first century church. You remember Ananias and Sapphira? Acts chapter 5. You know, they pretend they went out there and sold all and brought all the money back. They were hypocrites. But they didn't quit the church because of them. The Lord took care of them. Don't worry about the hypocrites. Leave them alone and get out of the way. Let the Lord take care of them. And there's hypocrites on your job, you ain't quit it. Maybe hypocrites in the bank, you ain't stopped banking. Let the Lord take care of the hypocrites. You need to hear the gospel. After hearing it, believe it. Acts 15 and 7. And then you have to be willing to change your mind about having all these excuses for not obeying the gospel. Luke 13 and 3. But then you have to be willing to confess Christ. Confess him as the only begotten Son of God. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. And then be willing to submit to water baptism. The Bible teaches, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And then strive to live faithfully unto death. Mark 16 and 16 and Revelation 2 and 10. And get in the Lord's church and start working for the Lord. See, one day the Lord is going to come back for his church. And if you're not faithfully in it, God is not going to accept your excuses for not serving him.